politician, can you make a right decision for all of us, politician?
Katanga titi, katanga te kaka, katanga hoki hau ti hei, mauri ora, e te whānau. Thank you for tuning in and welcome to Straight Talk with Shane Tupou. You know what, e te whānau, we might not have a government in place, but we have plenty to talk about tonight. So sit right back, whakarongo mai, tune on in, as we've got some wonderful guests ahead of us this evening. Well, we don't have a government, but politics is not boring, te whānau. So let's get straight into it. Straight Talk, Shane Tupou, and on the line I have Kieran Leone, who is currently an Auckland City Councillor. Kia ora, Kieran.
Ora, pēhē koe.
Well, pāra watu. Thank you very much for being on with us this evening. Hey, Kieran, you're Labour endorsed councillor for the
Yeah.
Faux Ward. Today we had reconfirmation, I suppose, for want of a better term. Chris Hipkins has continued to be the leader of the Labour Party. Calvin Davis, no surprise, has stood down formally from being the deputy leader of the Labour Party, and Kamal Sipilani from out West your way is the deputy leader. Your thoughts,
Yeah.
please.
Oh, look, I think that they've already been a team working together going into the election, so I think they'll be great going into opposition. So fully total that decision going forward.
But Karen, who's going to take responsibility for the loss of New Lynn, for the loss of Mount Roskill? You've had a drop of 21,000 votes in Mount Albert. Helen White has a slender lead without the recount taking place of 20. We saw scores, thousands of traditional Labour voters not turn up to the polling booths in Mangere, Manurewa and Manukau East. Who's going to take responsibility for this?
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, Shane, and I think there's been a huge concern about the results that occurred, and I think we were all pretty shocked with how the results came through, to be honest. I mean, Deborah Russell is a fabulous MP. She worked very hard in the Newlyn electorate. Like I'm aware the other candidates do as well. So it's a time for the MPs. I'm aware that they were going to have a caucus meeting to discuss what rebuilding our team is going to look like, and I'll be really eager to hear what that plan will be going forward. But my job is just to continue to tautoko and support them on the ground in council and throughout Tamaki Makaurau.
Hey, look, I don't mean this as a pun, but I don't want to belabor the point. But you said that it was a shock. But didn't we see the writing on the wall in terms of the city council elections where Labor, with the centre-left candidate, was beaten handsomely by the centre-right candidate? We lost many local councils. And your win in Faux was against the trend. Didn't we see this coming in some way, shape, or form?
Yeah,
Learning,
I think
Karen?
what I can say about local body is that in the scenario we had, I think that there was also a number of other issues that occurred, and that was the first time that we actually had a Pasifika mayoral candidate stand. So I think, when we are talking about the optics of politics and how people vote here in Tamaki Makaurau, like was the outcome with our Māori wards the other day, all of those things are taken into account, even with the councillors that we do see sometimes being swing voters on certain issues. But unfortunately, you see votes like that happen, and it feels like we can go backwards. But just coming back to the losses of those seats, now I just want to focus on Waitemata. Now, in particular with that seat, I think the other issue there is that CNR have usually stood a candidate alongside Mike Lee. Now, last year's election, they didn't. So normally they would split the vote against the left, but because they didn't, obviously that's how Mike Lee won the seat. So I wouldn't see it as a straight win for the right. I think that there were just circumstances around a number of seats that were different, and the mayoral seat, of course, as I've just suggested, it wasn't just left versus right. It was actually a couple of other issues in there as well, I'd say.
Okay, so let's have a kōrero about your particular role representing the people of Fo on the Auckland City Council. The coalition government, what do you as a councillor, and what does the council in general and the people of Tamaki Makaurau, what do they want? What do they expect out of this coalition government?
I think in terms of what the mayor has put forward already is actually there is a number of supporting councillors that believe we do need to have some long-term funding agreements with central government, particularly around our infrastructure and transport, because that's where there's our significant gaps at the moment. So, I mean, in other parts of central government, we know that there's multi-year funding in place. Unfortunately for local government, we just haven't got that right here in Tamaki Makaurau. So we need to be looking at long-term funding agreements because we need to work on those things together. We're never going to be able to afford to cover those costs just through rates and the current revenue that comes into council. So we need to have that in place. And I think aside from that, we all have our portfolios, which we'll be wanting to ensure are prioritised. I hold the Māori Outcomes portfolio, so I will definitely be wanting to look at central government's response on Māori housing in Tamaki Makaurau, health and a raft of other issues, education. These are all things that I think we need to be working together on going forward and will be of benefit to our communities. But the main one at the moment is definitely the funding.
Yeah, Kieran, when Mayor Brown was elected and when he was trying to put together his budget, he said some very unsavoury, used some very unsavoury terms against some of his councillors. He didn't name them, but we sort of knew he was getting at. But we've seen a warming in the relationship, an agreement in terms of how we nullify or minimise the risk of flooding, and also recently basically a huge majority support in terms of limiting urban spread. Would you say that there is a better understanding between councillors and Mayor Brown?
Oh, definitely. And I think part of it is just him, you know, his experiences was working up in the far north, which only had a population of one of our wards here in Tamaki Makaurau. I mean, I've got nearly 80,000 in the Fo ward, and that's what he would have been working at as being the mayor of the whole far north district. So, you know, being here in Auckland, he's had to learn the ropes, understand the job, I believe, and understand how important it is to actually work with councillors. And this time round with the long-term plan, he has actually ensured that we're all part of the budget meetings going forward rather than him just making a call on what that plan will look like. He's emailed us all separately to get our feedback on where we believe we could look at any cuts or increased revenue, and ensure that we've had all the information possible. So a totally different approach to how things went last year for the annual budget, which I think has been positive. And you're right, though, with those comments and those remarks, you know, we're all on top of them 24/7 because a lot of them in the past haven't been appropriate. But I do believe he has definitely changed. He's not dropping those remarks as much.
And I want to talk about a couple of specific policy issues before we talk about Māori wards. I want to talk about an integrated approach to transport. National in particular have been heavy on policy in relation to roads, and again, they've spoken about this in terms of their approach to this election. Where do you think the divergence is in terms of a coherent transport approach from a local and government perspective?
Oh, look, fully tautoko, fully support that. And I was actually part of one of the hui that took place between the Mayor, Michael Wood, when he was the Minister of Transport and Mana Whenua here. And that hui went really, really well. And I think the fact that Mana Whenua were at the table, part of that discussion, shows that they also supported that too. So, of course, we know the two big projects, the light rail and the Waitemata at the harbour crossing, that's all going to be contentious issues going forward. But look, we definitely need to have an integrated transport plan as along with our infrastructure. They're just absolutely necessary. So fully tautoko us having those in place.
You know, Kieran, I'm a long-suffering kaimahi in the CBD as you are, and we've seen the disruption that the CRL has caused. We're not far, hopefully, from it being finished. A lot of these projects, when we sort out budgeting, when the works have been done, they're very disruptive, they're very difficult to manoeuvre, but looking back in hindsight, you know, it always adds good value to a city like Tamaki Makaurau. So isn't it about just not just balancing the immediate needs, but looking at our future needs?
Yes, and again, you're right on that, Shane. We working with the business associations is really key to ensuring that we're working alongside the businesses and how any of those major works are happening. And I know that a lot of businesses suffered. I mean, when I was previously on the Waitemata local board, they were contacting us on a regular basis about those issues. But we do need to focus on the long term. And, I mean, I would love to see the day where we do actually have a direct train that's going to go from the airport to the city centre. That's one of the things that I had campaigned on when I first stood, is trying to get that in place within our lifetime anyway. But no, I think that long-term planning is really important for the vision and the future of our city, which is also another reason why we need, you know, we need to have councillors that stand that are actually thinking about the long-term plan and vision for our rangatahi and those that will become our future leaders. Because as I said in a number of interviews regarding the Māori wards, some of our councillors don't see that foresight. They're just thinking about the numbers and the cost of money and things like that, when we need to make sure that we are a global city. And a global city has got to have good transport and infrastructure.
And you know, we've got infrastructural deficits. I think we need to take collective and probably generational responsibility for the infrastructural deficit we have, not only transport, but of course our waters program. It looks like that three waters is a dead duck in some shape or form, but real reform is needed. And again, tell me about your approach as a council and how you may have to finesse your approach given the incoming government and their attitude towards particular Māori representation.
Yeah, I think with the three waters, from what I'm aware of, that the mayor actually advocated, even though initially he was against it, but he made some pretty public statements about the fact that we do need to implement three waters. The only issue that I'm aware of, which is still significant, is around the 50-50 Mana Whenua partnership on the board. So, look, I know that that's the position of the mayor at the moment, is to support it. I haven't had any other specific updates on that, but I know that we're due to get an update pretty soon. But we need it. I mean, you know, look at the case that happened down in Queenstown. Imagine if we had that in Auckland for 1.7 million people. That's a huge health risk. And we, if we don't have that security of central government funding to help us with that infrastructure, people will get sick. And that's something that we have to prioritise, is the health and well-being of our residents here in Tamaki Makaurau.
But, you know, as Māori, we recognise our environment as a physical and spiritual, in terms of wairua presence. Our te ao, our waterways, our beaches, our rivers are sick. Our beaches are closed often. Only some 4 weeks ago, we had a massive pipe burst, and raw sewage was going into Te Waitemata. So the need is near, it's real and absolute.
Yeah, no, urgent need, and that's not good enough. I mean, to have that kind of sewage happening in the pipes burst is unacceptable for our city. And no, we are definitely prioritising that as council, and I know all of the councillors, well, I hope a majority at least, would support those being the number one negotiations that we'll be taking to central government in the next few weeks once we know who's going to be, taking those roles and ministers of all the different areas, which I think they're still figuring that out. But, yeah, no, we're clear that that will be a priority for us.
Karen, isn't it about time we had a hard conversation with the people of Tamaki Makaurau? About the need to have infrastructural growth and support, which will mean increasing rates, which will mean developers having to pay more as we invest into the future. Isn't that a discussion that we seem to be delaying year in, year out?
I agree with you, Shane, on the kōrero around the increase in rates. And again, in my experience around being on the local board, we were one of the local boards previously that actually did advocate on putting the rates up higher and felt that we were behind. When you look at places like Wellington that went up to 14% to continue maintaining their infrastructure down there, we're way behind, really. But at the same time, I think it's important that we do look at an increase, but also look at our option of that negotiation with central government and try and obviously first pull that lever before having to take our rates sky high. But yes, so everything will be on the table for LTP. We know that the Mayor is really clear that he wants to prioritise infrastructure. We want to make sure that our constituents and whānau here in Tamaki Makaurau are safe in terms of the water and keeping our water clean. There's a clear plan around that. And so we need to make sure that we implement that, whether that's through a combination of funding through central government and raising the rates. At the moment, based on our current numbers, I think we would still need to look at around a 7% rates rise, even without looking at the full infrastructure program. So there will need to be a rates rise coming into 2024. But everything will be on the table there.
Yeah, Kieran, it's not just about rate rise, isn't it? It's about sharing the responsibility. For example, in many parts of working class West Auckland and working class South Auckland, the density rules are very different to, for instance, where I live in Epsom, on the North Shore, in Takapuna. Shouldn't the rules be pretty standard throughout one city like Tamaki Makaurau?
Well, I have to agree with you again, Shane. I mean, we're looking at that whole equity factor across all of the local boards soon and the development contribution, because we know based on that current income that we're getting through the development contributions, it's not enough to actually provide the amenities required for these whānau that will be moving into these homes. I mean, if we're going to build an apartment building with 500 units in it, we need to make sure that we've got parks and green spaces available for these families to live in. So all of those things, I believe, are in the process of being reviewed as well. But the urgency to kind of review the model is another thing that we're looking at, because you're right, it's not fair. We need to make sure that we've got all those things in place for these families. The density in West Auckland is only going to continue to grow, and we've got to make sure we're across it. So thank you for raising it again.
Well, Karen, it's depressing that we have to raise this issue. You talked about Mayor Brown being a former mayor of the far north that has Māori wards, by the way. Ushered in by one of the more conservative former members of parliament, John Carter, in a city like Tamaki Makaurau, that is hosted by a very generous mana whenua, including Ngāti Whātua Te O Rākei. How did we end up with the rejection of Māori wards?
Oh, look, I'm still really disappointed. And to be honest, Shane, I'm still trying to lobby two councillors to change their minds on the decision that they made the other week, because I feel it's not good enough.
Can the question be re-put before the next term?
We have until the end of the month. In terms of our legislation, we actually have until the end of November, but I know that the Mayor is not likely to bring it back to governing body unless we know for sure that two councillors would change their vote. So, I mean, I haven't given up hope. I'm still trying to work away at it, because I think, you know, that's a whole another 3 years that we have to wait for Māori representation on behalf of Māori that Māori can vote for. And Tamaki Makaurau, you know, the largest Māori population in the world living here. So, it's disappointing, and it does reflect that we've just got some councillors that believe that the IMSB is in place, so we shouldn't have Māori wards in place, which is wrong, because they're under a totally different legislation from central government, and their job is to audit, really, the council and the mahi that they're doing, as opposed to a Māori ward councillor who would be a clear Māori voice for Māori here in Tamaki Makaurau. So, it's a real shame.
Which is ironic, Karen, because the Māori Statutory Board wholeheartedly supports Māori representation through Māori wards.
Yes, they do. So it's not the, it's not the IMSB, but councillors were trying to use anything. They were grabbing at straws when we had the debate. I'm not sure if you've had a chance to watch it, Shane, but it's shameful. It's really shameful to say you're going to hold on to a 68% we're against, when we know that Māori are not the majority population here in Auckland.
Exactly. Hey, Karen Liani, Auckland City Councillor, Member for Whau, thank you very much for joining the whānau on Wātea Radio tonight. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Shane. Thanks for the kōrero.